Now, in order to understand this one sentence, we have to stop here for quite some time, because this is one of the most important statements in the Gita, and therefore I don't want to hurry up in order to move forward. The reason why it is important to halt here is that it deals with the totality of the understanding of the universe as we find in the development of human thought, and particularly in the Indian thought. In India, almost every religious thought speaks of Purusha and Prakriti. I don't think anybody in this country does not use these two words at least once or twice in his life, Purusha and Prakriti. And yet there is so much of confusion on this subject. Even in the Indian philosophical thought, there is considerable confusion. It is for that reason that we have to understand in a greater clarity this very important statement. To start with, we take up what is called the concept of Purusha and Prakriti in Sankhya. There is a philosophical system which is called the Sankhyan philosophy. The word Sankhya also means philosophy which deals with Sankhya, which deals with numbers. It is because this philosophy enumerates the most essential elements of the world and comes to the conclusion that there are 25 of them. Since it gives a detail of this enumeration and arrives at 25, gives a number, Sankhya, therefore also this is called Sankhya. The first among them is Purusha. It is one principle. The rest 24 all belong to Prakriti. Prakriti gives rise to Mahat or Buddhi, which gives rise to Ahambhava, egoism, which is threefold: Sattvik Ahambhava, Rajasik Ahambhava, Tamasik Ahambhava. Because Prakriti itself is threefold: Sattvik, Rajasik, Tamasik. And everywhere in the world these three are pervading, universal pervasion. From them arise six senses. Manas first, which is the real sixth sense, and the real sense. And five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. From there arise the essences, what are called tanmatras, of five pancha mahabhutas, of the five great elements, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. They all come to 24, and Purusha is 25th. Now, according to Sankhya philosophy, this knowledge is necessary because through this knowledge one knows what is bondage and what is liberation. What is moksha? The Purusha, according to this philosophy, is by nature inactive. It is quiet, but luminous, full of consciousness. There is not one Purusha, but many Purushas. Each one of us is a Purusha. The word Purusha is Puri Vasati Yahasa Purushaha. That which lives in town, that is, body is a town, that which lives in the body is Purusha. So everyone is Purusha. Every one of us basically is Purusha. That is to say, body is not Purusha. Body is a town in which we live. The one who lives, Dehi, not Deha, Dehi, one who lives in the Deha, is Purusha. Kshetragya is Purusha, but more than that, Purusha in the Sankhya is not Purushottama. In the Bhagavad Gita, the word Purusha is used also in the sense of Purushottama. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Kshetragya would certainly be Purusha, but Purushottama is also Kshetragya. One who knows the field, the Purushottama himself, the Supreme Lord, is a Kshetragya. In Sankhya, there is no concept of Purushottama at all. There is only the concept of Purusha. In the Bhagavad Gita, the many Purushas are not original. The multiplicity of Purushas is a result of Purushottama. Therefore, Purusha basically is only one, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Sankhya is called pluralistic philosophy. According to it, ultimate reality is multiple, many Purushas. So it is called a philosophy of pluralism. Bhagavad Gita maintains that ultimate reality is only one. Therefore, Gita's philosophy is called monism. It is therefore Advaita, not two, Advaita. It is one without duality. Ultimate reality is one without the second. There are no two ultimate realities. So, according to Sankhya, I am just now discussing only Sankhya, but since your question was very important, I expounded immediately the Bhagavad Gita's position also vis-à-vis the position of the Sankhya. The Bhagavad Gita very often uses the word Sankhya. Throughout the book we have seen the word Sankhya. And it seems as if Sri Krishna describes this Sankhya philosophy which I am now describing. But that is not true. The word Sankhya, wherever used by Bhagavad Gita, is Vedantic Sankhya. It is not the Sankhya which is known ultimately by the name of Sankhya philosophy in Indian philosophy.